bubble. Hello and welcome to Burst of the Bubble live on Cam FM. I'm Michael Quintero, and joining me this week are my regular co-host Chris Moten.
Hello.
And our guest Andy Holding.
Hello.
And we're a show about unusual news, about the weirder news stories from the past week. And we're going to start off by talking about animals. Our first story is about a bionic cat who has been dubbed this after being fitted with pins and supports following a fall from a fourth-story window.
So does this cat have any bionics if it's just pins?
No, not so much. It's just like bits of metal in him. Yeah. He's become his owner said he jumps a little bit higher now since the metal was put in him. He's become a bit bionic, which makes me wonder whether his owner, Mr. Harrigan, actually understands what the word bionic means. Whether he thinks it means bio animal, nick metal.
Well, I think we could sort of get some money together and send him a copy of a Bionic Woman. That could help him learn. It's a factual documentary.
I think what we're seeing here is kind of classic bionics. Is, you know, we think of bionics, you think of like the Terminator or something. Well, not really the Terminator, he wasn't bionic, he was pure machine.
And I know he wasn't pure machine, he had like a fake skin coating. It was the only way they could actually send the Terminator back in time. Because they said they can't send just pure machines back, so they had to coat them in things and that.
Okay, so they presumably were faced with the choice of augmenting a human or crippling a robot, and they went for that latter option.
Well, it was Skynet. I don't think Skynet liked people.
There, yes, they were the authors of their own demise. They were like, we could use those humans, but prejudice never wins, kids.
Yeah, but in my mind, a bionic definitely means some sort of electric, controllable hand. And to say it's a bionic cat is like saying, news story, we've done an operation that years ago people put pins in people's legs and it all worked out okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's thousands of motorcyclists out there who have similar bionic limbs and wouldn't be so grateful for it.
Would you count people with hip replacements as bionic?
My grandmother wasn't bionic. I mean, it was a brilliant bit of treatment. It gave her mobility when she was like 90-something, but not exactly bionic.
I'd be interested to know what it does to your, you know, abilities as a person. Like, do you actually find that having metal riven through your bones, like once they're fully healed, does actually give you some sort of superior properties? You know, is your bone sort of less flexible and therefore you're better at, I don't know, breaking down doors with your face or something like that?
Well, if you're 92, it means you don't suffer from chronic arthritis and can walk.
That's almost a superpower.
But the motorcyclists, you know, they're probably the guys, you know, they're probably the most bionic of professions.
They need a special letter to get on airport planes. Go through airports to get on planes.
Really? So, like, you... Yeah.
Yeah, metal detectors detect them.
Yeah, okay, yeah, obviously, yeah. But presumably... Oh, no, yeah, sorry. For a moment now, I was thinking that they would look at the image and sort of be like, there's some metal inside your bones, I think I can see what's going on there. You know, it's not shaped like an AK-47, but it's a metal detector. It doesn't give you like an X-ray-style image. It does just go honk, execute immediately.
Or fondle rapidly.
when you qualify for the border guard, you do actually get a coin with fondle written on one side and execute on the other, which you toss when that happens.
The owner did actually say about his cat, he won't be going through airports anytime soon, which made me wonder whether this was actually a jet-setting cat who, prior to this accident, was living an amazing life, going on foreign holidays all those times. Finding some, yeah.
Wasn't there that cat that had the vote a while ago because someone put it down on the form to get through the post, so can you vote? I'm sure you have that story on this show, in fact.
Possibly. I think putting these two stories together, I think we are just seeing the start of a feline revolution. They have already managed to get the vote. Now they want to upgrade themselves in order to fully take over.
And I've just realised we've moved the studio out of the basement onto ground level. We're no longer protected from zombies, aliens, or whatever other invasions you have concluded on this show.
Yeah, it's true. We're now not in the Cam FM bunker in Churchill anymore. We're now in the Cam FM room.
I think this place is spiritually a bunker. I mean, it's okay. So it's above ground. It's built kind of like a shed with padded walls to keep the insanity in. But it's if it contains Cam FM, spiritually speaking, we're in a bunker.
I've noticed something on this news story, going back to the news story, which is technically what we're supposed to be talking about rather than our locale. But it seems that cats being called bionic is a regular thing, seeing as there is one another story for about this from 2010 and a further story about this from 2007. About different cats being dubbed bionic.
So is what we learn here, that there's a tragically low level of originality in the print media, that every time some cat is like shattered into 1,000 pieces and then crudely duct taped back together, then they go, bionic cat.
Or there's a singular vet with an incredibly good press release office.
But it makes you wonder what makes cats most likely to have the word bionic attached to them. I mean, there's no links to story, dog, bionic person.
And you'd be struggling to find injuries that warrant proper bionics. Like, I challenge you to find the disease or injury that would warrant having a laser cannon fitted to you.
Though, according to the Bionic Woman Wiki, there was a Bionic Dog episode where Jamie discovers the existence of the world's first bionic canine and just 5 days to save him from certain death. I don't know what the episode's about, but that's why we have wikis.
It doesn't sound like it was a very good bionic dog if it was heading towards certain death in 5 days. But this is the thing, do bionics also just make everyone want to kill you or something?
I think probably they went up to the dog and they said, okay, you can have a mundane life for your entire existence, like 10 years. Or you can have 5 days as the bionic dog. And the dog went, vroom! And they were like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that means the bionics. Get the chainsaw.
So yeah, the Daily Mail have a story on a bionic dog. It seems to have like electric legs. I'm not sure. This was back on the 24th in 2011, so 24th of June 2011, so not that long ago. And the Daily Mail has tried to install an app on my fruit flavored phone.
Did you say your fruit flavored phone? Oh yes, okay.
Yes, I'm avoiding branding because nobody wants to hear another person who has another fruit flavored phone.
I was sat there sort of going, lemon, strawberry. None of these are phones. Android is not a fruit. I'm just confused.
However, multiple types of fruit phone are available. Moving away from fruit phones and onto our next animal-based story. This is a story that in Basti district in India, Indian snake charmer who's got a bit annoyed has let loose snakes in a council office, in a government office. Causing the appropriate reaction to all these snakes being set loose in the government office, which is people panicking and trying to get away from the snakes.
Did they get Samuel L. Jackson to say, get these mother-something snakes out of his mother-something office? That was very hard to sense from a fly. It really breaks the flow.
But no.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I set up a joke and you just go, no.
No, look. I'll just ignore this. I'll just sit here, and you two can finish off the joke. I'll let you do that.
I said, "Oh, I didn't know where it's going." Yeah. He just went, "No."
I think it's as told as it's getting. You're just required to briefly expound on the notion that Samuel, like, that probably one, like, somebody in the government office would be like, "Whoa, snakes! I'm going to get away with this by taking a quick trip to the lavatory," and then there'd be a big cobra in there, and Samuel L. Jackson would be like, "No," and he'd like wind the snake around like a rolling pin, and he'd throw the rolling pin out the window, and he'd be like, "Take that, you mother something snake!" And yeah. I think that's how this would play out.
And yeah, and in the reasonable radio and Ofcom fairness, we'd have to say that Samuel L. Jackson was not available for comment.
And also that other hulking action stars capable of ejecting reptiles are available.
But
Lawrence Fishburne, for example. I bet he could take some snakes.
But the key point here is that the guy who dumped the snakes is also the guy who in this area is generally responsible for snake removal. Which means, apparently he did it because he's fed up with asking for some land to create a snake reserve for all the snakes that he's captured. And so his way of protesting this was to go, well, you won't give me anywhere to put them, I'll put them in your office!
Does India have, like, a history of the Pied Piper? No. The whole rat thing. You look completely blank at me, Michael. You know, this fairy tale about this guy who, charm rats? Yeah. Yeah, it's just... It's the same idea because he sent the rats back.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to manage to drown all of the snakes though.
Well, it is notoriously difficult, and snakes are notoriously buoyant.
Because that's the only problem. They can also eat horses.
Like in a thousand bites, right?
No, no, in one go. It's terrifying. If you Google for it, you find pictures of snakes that look like a horse because they have to, like, they sometimes explode right when doing it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a... It's not a very good life plan. You're going to be pretty much stationary for the next 10 years whilst you wait for this horse to slowly digest.
That's what they do. They just lie there for months.
Yep, cold-blooded animals don't do much.
Okay.
Eat, sit, eat. They're like cats in that respect, but they're not bionic.
And so there's some wonderful descriptions of the reactions to people to these snakes. Some people started taking photos with their telephone cameras. Always brought out sheets to try and cover the snakes.
These are odd responses. Mine would be, ah! And probably so, like, and so on and so on. And what's between a telephone camera and a camera phone?
A telephone camera is actually, like, Victorian style. You know those really, really old phones where there's, like, the big bit you hold in your hand and then the little trumpet you put in your ear? It's like one of those, but it has a Victorian blackout camera attached to it. It transmits them by virtue of there being a servant nearby who will describe the photograph to somebody at the other end of the line.
And we have the fastest drawer in the other end of the line possible.
Yeah.
And the one other thing is that one of the reaction was some came with sticks and wanted to beat up Hackle, who was a man who dumped the snakes there.
They've got their priorities wrong. Beat up the snakes with the sticks first and then beat up the guy who released them. Don't leave the snakes around. And if you're going to get a stick with a nail for it. It's clearly at least +2, +3 on attack power.
Are you planning for a zombie apocalypse that is meant using the rules of role-playing games?
No, it's just well-known where attack power is a standard military measurement of power.
Yeah,
it is well-known. You know, like the standard rifles, they all come with a label. And you get different bullets that have like +3, +4 attack power. Different armors have +12 defense. You know, it's standard logic. And like lucky items, they all have a luck factor. This is well recorded. There's papers on it.
Yeah, like the Chieftain tank is -10 to spot checks, for example. But I would also charge you with totally gratuitous introduction of zombies, as this is quite clearly a snake apocalypse. You don't need to bring zombies into the matter. You're like, a snake apocalypse is bad enough to begin with. A zombie snake apocalypse would be, like, that would be, if anything, slightly better than a snake apocalypse, because the deal with zombies is they bite you, they make you into a zombie. If you're being bitten by a snake, you're already dead. You know, if anything, your chances are slightly improved. At least you get a sort of a secondary existence as a horrible, you know, sort of person biting sort of zom snake, you know.
Do zombie snakes have to eat brains, or can they just, because that would also make it more difficult for them to bite if they have to get all the way up to the top, because normally they kill you by biting on the ankles. Okay. If they have to go for the brain, that's making it harder. That's good. Yeah. Good point.
They have to go for all of you in one go, and then they just sit there digesting until their digestive juices get through to the brain, and that's where only then are they satisfied.
It's well known that any other part of the body than the brain causes zombies to have gross indigestion, so it wouldn't work.
And it'd be quite easy to deal with, because you'd be like, you know, okay, that one guy has been bitten by a zombie snake. We estimate that the snake will resume moving in, like, July 2015. So the United Nations is cooking up a long and complicated plan to blast that guy into orbit. And then everything's going to be fine. So the zombie snake apocalypse is, strictly speaking, in progress.
Yeah, just think of the paperwork.
Yeah, the snakes are apparently still at large in the building, because Mr. Hackle and his men escaped in the confusion.
What they need is a really big vacuum cleaner, actually. Just seal up the windows, put a vacuum cleaner on the door and suck the snakes out. Because that's basically what they did on snakes on a plane. But they didn't have a vacuum cleaner, they just opened the door on the plane. But it's a sound theory.
Yeah, or you could fly the government office, like, tow it using a huge, great freighter plane or something. Or load it into that huge, bulbous plane that Boeing have for moving parts of the 787 around. It's a huge comedy outsize jet airliner. So stick the office in there and then take that up and then reenact snakes in the plane.
What's the standard predator to snakes? Is there another? Is it like an animal that kills them?
Or is snakes? There is, isn't there?
Is it like a polecat or something?
Mongoose.
Yeah.
Mongoose, yeah. Release mongooses. Yeah. Mongeese.
Yeah. But then what should the old woman swallow to catch the mongoose, eh?
I have no idea. Something aggressive, large?
I don't know. If you've got any comments about any of the stories we've covered so far, you can email us, studio@camfm.co.uk. Or you can, if you're listening on the website, you can go to www.camfm.co.uk and click on the web form there.
We're going to take a brief musical break at this point, but we'll be back to talk about more silly news stories in just a moment.
97.2 camfm.co.uk.
On air and online, you're Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst of Bubble live on Cam FM. I'm Michael Quintero and I'm joined by Chris Moten.
Hello again.
And Andy Holding.
Hello.
We are going to carry on and just finish off our last animal story this week, when we are going to talk about pandas who are being taken to Edinburgh Zoo. A pair of pandas.
Where are they coming from?
China.
Okay, so do they need a passport? No, we don't need more immigrants. That's my daily... I got Daily Mail app for my phone now. It's all gone wrong.
Okay, but no, what's actually happening is they're being FedExed over here.
You can FedEx? That's a lot cheaper than a plane ticket. How do I do that?
I don't know. They have bought a special Boeing 777F flight, which they've named the FedEx Panda Express.
Is it really a FedEx flight? Because I'm starting to think this may be an analogy, not fact.
No, it is actually a FedEx Express that is bringing the pandas over.
Okay, but then I will, next time I need to go on holiday, use FedEx. It's just going to be a cheap way. I can't afford these expensive flights from EasyJet.
You're saying you're going to FedEx yourself. You're going to, like, package yourself up. And then, you know, it'd be like the thing where you escape from jail by hiding inside a box and then writing your home address on it.
Yeah, except for I'll add air holes. I'm not stupid.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'll also add for airmail on the sticker. On the
yeah, back. I get terribly seasick as well. So, yeah, definitely airmail.
Yeah. It also gets very cold in those freighters. So you might want to take, like, a Breville with you or something. That's a toasted sandwich maker, but, you know...
So we also need a generator for the toasted sandwich maker.
I was just going to hug the toasted sandwich maker and think happy thoughts, think warm thoughts. But yeah, either way.
The cost of posting is rising rapidly here as the weight increases.
Okay, we'll change the Breville for a nice thermos full of chocolate, hot chocolate, or perhaps soup, or maybe one of each. I think we can cover that.
It's only minus 50 degrees up there, which is roughly the same as at the South Pole. So, you know, I think Captain Scott could have made it through with a thermos and a Breville.
I think they are actually getting better treatment than this, because Gerald P. Leary, who's president of the FedEx Express...
You think so?
No. It's just like you're going, oh, it'll be cheap. But no, they're getting luxury flights across. I mean,
you're telling me that pandas would die at minus 50? Is that the shock story? So they actually had to worry about it?
No. But the shock story is the fact that the president of FedEx Express Europe said the specially chartered flight follows months of preparation and planning to ensure the pandas' travel is safe. Yep, fair enough. No. And comfortable at every stage of their journey. I don't get that on ordinary planes when I fly.
I was going to say, did they make sure it had panda hookers? Because, you know, those pandas can get... they don't, do they?
No. This is one of the key problems with pandas, that they don't.
I think you'd get the kind of quality of air catering that you want if you were endangered. So if you can somehow prove that you're sort of a unique species or a unique human specimen or something, then you might get that.
As bad as food is on planes, I think it is actually better than bamboo. But I do quite like a Chinese with bamboo shoots. That's quite nice. So what's the next story, Michael?
Yeah. Moving on, we are going to go to a football section. We have, in fact, two different stories touching on football.
Do any of us actually know anything about football? I mean, I know it's got a ball that looks a bit like a Buckminster Fullery, but that's it.
Well, okay, what you can do is I'll read this next story to you, and you can see if you can work out why this isn't right. Okay?
Okay. Is it your side rule?
No.
Okay.
So we're looking for specific violations of the rules of football.
Well, just kind of like more out of that, just like in general, just what's wrong with this picture.
This is getting rather complex.
So there was a football match.
Sounds okay.
In Swansea.
Do they play football there?
And
what's the local team called?
Is that? This is Underhill Park in Mumbles, Swansea. The game was between Mumbles Rangers and Kingsbridge Colts.
All right, you're rumbled, Contario. There is no such place as Mumbles. Mumbles Rangers is the team that gets written down when Des Lynam is kind of falling asleep during the reading of the results.
Well, listen, that's what the news story says. I've not got to the bit going wrong.
Do you ever feel you're putting off the host?
Okay, acknowledging for the moment the existence of Mumbles, what happened to Mumbles Rangers?
During their game, a black Mitsubishi drove onto the pitch and did three donuts in the centre circle before driving off.
As long as that's during extra time multiple, I'm fine with that. That's well within the rules.
Yeah, that's fine, so long as you don't pass back.
Yeah, yeah, and again, don't run over the goalkeeper, that's cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, this guy just drove up. It's interesting because at one place it says they went round the centre circle, and at other times it was he drove the car around the semicircle several times. So either the pitch is like spontaneously shifted underneath the car, or something here is inaccurate.
You don't say. Or it's possible that they're just topologically challenged. There are many topologically challenged people out there. I mean, most people don't realise the difference between a circle and a disc. Mathematicians are far more interested in discs than they are circles quite often.
I certainly didn't know what a disc was, but I'm going to guess that it is a circle is a line and a disc is essentially two circles and the area between them.
No, well, a disc is a two-dimensional object where a circle is a one-dimensional object. So it's just the line where the disc includes. So when you give a textbook to a kid and it's coloured in the centre of a circle as an object, that's actually a disc because mathematicians think of a circle as only having one dimension, even though it travels through two dimensions. It's only got one set of coordinates in polar coordinates.
Now, I've got a compact disc, and that definitely has three dimensions.
Yeah, see, mathematicians don't actually work in the real world. See, it's quite useful. They also have to spend a year trying to work out that one is greater than naught or something. It's an interesting thing they do at university.
You seem to be far too knowledgeable in the way.
My wife's a mathematician.
Okay, that's fine. Moving on.
I've been practicing for 10 years insulting her.
That's not actually true. That's just a secret code phrase that makes Michael move on. No, my wife's a mathematician. It malfunctioned. My wife's a mathematician.
So the man describing...
He's resilient, isn't he?
The man driving the car...
Yeah, doesn't know what he's doing right now. Just go on.
Yes.
Keep talking. It will be okay.
Apparently, the guy driving the car and his passenger were just laughing all the way through, but they were really intelligent because they got photos taken of them on a mobile phone camera. I think we're seeing a
camera phone.
Also, I think you'll find that was a telephone camera.
I mean, what web company is this that can't work out that modern technology is called a camera phone? Nobody calls it a telephone camera or whatever it's on one.
This also said a spectator took photographs on his mobile phone. Cameras were not mentioned.
Okay, that's fine. Taking a photo on a mobile phone, I get that. But saying on a phone camera...
Apparently the car was driven at speeds of up to 30 miles per hour and went on to leave the way it entered.
Well, that's convenient. If he left through a fourth dimension, that'd be rather unique. And actually, I'll give him the Nobel Prize for that.
Yeah, I would have been surprised if the car had like been driven on and flown off.
I would have to, if it was doing 88 miles an hour, then maybe it would have, but it could only get up to 30, apparently. That's the problem. That's a really rubbish speed to get on the length of a football pitch. I'm sure my car can get quite a bit faster than that.
He's just driving in circles.
Yeah, well, you can't really go in a straight line forever in a football pitch. You are aware they are not of infinite length.
No.
The football games would take forever then. Goal kick. We are here in year 2783 as we are trying to get to the other goal.
So the only way you'd be able to win a game if the football pitch was of infinite length is you'd have to sort of deliver an inductive proof that you would have scored a goal. You'd be like, you know, the fact that I successfully made it from like yard N of the pitch to yard N plus 1 implies also that I could make it from yard N plus 1 to yard N plus 2. Therefore, I would have got the given infinite time, I would have got the ball all the way to the end of the goal. 1 point, please.
But the tactics would also change because you wouldn't just need like attackers and defenders. You would also need the people who were carrying the tents, the people who were making food. You'd probably actually have to have a production system where you were harvesting the grass as you went along because the game is going to go on for a very long time.
And as a defensive technique, you'd need to sort of make the process of attack sufficiently complicated that proving that you'd scored a goal would be like proving that there's no recurrences in pie or something like that. You know?
In fact, most of the game would actually take place on the sidelines where a bunch of mathematicians were feverishly trying to write down these proofs and get them to the referee before the other team.
If there's one thing we've got in infinite football, it's time.
So what's extra time?
A different countable infinity.
Right, so you're going to move on to something about boys' GCSE grades in football.
Well, certainly.
Because I think an infinite football pitch would probably cause them to suffer.
A study has found that students drop in grades when there's a major football tournament on during the summer, just before their GCSE exams.
See, I find students drop in grades when they discover alcohol. There's been no science done to that, but it's been proven by many a teenager.
I just like the fact that it's like the teenagers discover alcohol. It's like, is there a limit to how many times something can be discovered?
No, because we can repeatedly forget things, especially if you're me. I still don't know where my house keys are.
I was going to say, especially if alcohol is involved.
That too.
Everyone discovers alcohol and then forgets the existence of alcohol due to the alcohol.
People could repeatedly rediscover that they never want to drink again, and then a week later they're saying the same thing.
So this phenomenon could be causing the exam results, because it's well known that watching the England team play football is quite connected with alcoholism.
Oh, and the fact that when you watch England team play football, you bash your head against the wall so hard you probably cause severe brain damage.
They said that on average students dropped a quarter of a grade in each of their subjects, but boys from low-income homes performed up to half a grade worse, which is roughly equivalent to the difference between being taught by a very poor teacher rather than by an excellent one.
So you can drop half a grade? So what's half a grade? Sorry, I don't, is that like an A star and a half?
The grades are like a certain width, and then therefore half of that width is half a grade.
So what? It's a bit like in 7A, you're going, eh! B. It's really hard to say half a letter. I've never tried that before.
Yeah, I think we should obviously just like create different letters just so that you will never suffer like that again, Andy.
So presumably if you got B and a half, that would be an ab. You'd be like, yeah, going to Cambridge, got three abs.
That was also means you're an alien.
Yeah, you're probably going to Cambridge for scientific study.
You may be dead in a car, in a box, and they're going to, on ice. But still talking.
Clutching a Breville. It didn't work for the pandas, it's not going to work for you.
There must be someone who works on pandas, but I suspect they keep quite quiet about it in case the animal rights people turn up and go, why are you working on something so cute and fluffy?
It would be very difficult to validate your results, because it would be like, we took a cohort of 10 pandas and assessed the results of hitting them on the head with a golf club. They all died. We have been unable to validate this, as this drove the species extinct.
I have to say, that would be, in my mind, ethically wrong. I'm not very good on this ethics, but that is quite clear.
Ethically short-sighted, to be certain.
The researchers in this report, getting back to the report, said that our study shows how important short-term effort is. So it's almost like they're just advocating cramming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm great on the short-term effort. I never do long-term effort. Give up after a week.
So it sounds kind of like this is, if anything, really, really depressing for teachers. Because they said in that story that gaining half a grade is the equivalent of being taught by a very poor or an excellent teacher. Which has got to mean that there's a lot of teachers who've got no idea which of those they are. That it's like almost impossible, you know, that pretty much it's the kid that decides how good they're going to do. And they can give them just the tiniest margin.
Yeah, because that basically means an A-star kid without a teacher would basically be a half grade between, which we still haven't agreed on what that is.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be an A-star.
And it's yeah. Okay. So we don't need teachers. We can fire them all. That will save our money.
I tried taking half the letters from A star and then saying those, but it turns out you can't say that on the radio. I'm going to Cambridge because I've got three. No.
I think you can say that word on radio. We actually had to check this the other day on an Ofcom report for the show coming up.
Excellent. Well, I won't try it because there's a possibility there's been some sort of cross purposes, and then I'll say it, and there'll be the horrible silence of the station being chopped up with an axe by Ofcom.
They are quite mean. They're actually queuing up outside right now, just staring at us, knowing we're about to trip up.
He's wearing a bowler hat, and he has a Charlie Chaplin moustache, and I'm scared.
And we're going to take a brief musical break to deal with that now.
Well, wait, don't do that, Van Kane. No!
Before we had Yellow by Coldplay. And now we're going to have another musical break. You can email us about any of the stories we've talked about so far, studio@chemfm.co.uk, or using the web form.
Oh, we should mention that we were asked regarding our previous break. We were asked what was going on the webcam. And the answer is that our webcam is frozen as was when we left the real bunker, the original Churchill studio. So you are still seeing the very last frame from Churchill. We hope to restore the webcam for the time being, but rest assured that Michael has not aged by 40 years and dyed his hair.
Your city.
Your station. Your Cam FM.
Welcome back to Cam FM. You're listening to Burst of Bubble, and that was All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. We're going to move on now to a tenuously linked guns and crime section. So,
what is the tenuous link, just out of curiosity?
Well, one of the stories contains guns, the other contains crime.
Sorry,
and generally speaking, a lot of the time when you have guns and crime, the guns are used in crime.
I thought you were linking Jimi Hendrix and or the song All Along the Watchtower.
Which was well known about guns and crime.
Yeah.
The Watchtower, terrible, terrible event, man.
So we'll start with crime rather than guns and crime. So a man has been jailed by a court in Germany after trying to rob a bank that had been closed for years.
Oh, okay, because I saw the headline from over here and I just thought it was a closed bank, which to me was quite a sensible time because then nobody's actually there. But it was a closed bank in the sense that it didn't have any money. Yeah, that's not so bright.
Closed in the sense that it wasn't there, in the sense that there was a cash machine in the wall and then a physiotherapy centre.
It's a bit like jumping the gates of a disused tube station. Might get you up to the platform, ain't going to get you a train.
You probably could have some pretty cool adventures. Like, I imagine the tunnels still go somewhere. So I would totally do that.
You know about the old Underground Rail Network? Not Underground Rail, that's the Royal Mail Underground Rail Network.
Oh no, they had their own private one.
Yeah, and you can illegally go down it, and if you go on the internet, you can find pictures of people who've done it.
Wow, that's really cool. So the Royal Mail had their own, you know, like, what age is this thing?
Oh, it's quite old, as in it's now disused, but it was in use, I think, within my lifetime.
Wow, okay, that's really cool. I really hope there's, like, old, like, minecart-style trains around, and you can work them with those sort of push-me-pull-you kind of things.
Are you just imagining some bizarre, like, comedy sequence involving the last remains of the mail that are down there and, like, perhaps some adventurers trying to find a certain letter and being chased by hoodlums?
Is it raining in the studio? I can hear rain.
it's raining all around the studio, but I think the studio is serving its purpose.
But, man tried to hold up the bank branch that didn't exist. And so instead just tried to hold up a poor woman who was outside the shop and demanded a ransom of 10,000 euros for her. But then instead just forced her to withdraw 400 euros from the bank machines, which were the only remnants of the bank, and then fled.
It sounded quite a lot like he was holding her to ransom to herself as well. That, like, he sort of apprehended her and said, I will release you to you when you pay me 10,000 euros. Hold on.
That could just be lousy news reports. We normally call that held at gunpoint.
to be fair, it's cutting out the middleman. And I can imagine, like, when there are negotiations for someone being held to ransom, I imagine that in some senses, even if it's like indirectly through taxes, some money is going to the person who's negotiating.
I always take a cut, about 10%. It works well for me. It's great. You go on the internet and you can sign up as a hostage negotiation middleman. And all you do is give your bank details to this guy in Nigeria. And by the end of the week, you're loaded.
Is there a danger that we end up with a long series of sort of like a pyramid scheme of hostage negotiators where each one releases the person to the next one in the line?
Well, I've just given my bank details. I actually have to wait till next Tuesday, but he tells me the check is on the way.
That's okay. They're notoriously trustworthy.
I've never met a Nigerian person who lies. And that's actually totally true.
And who can spot the basic principle of set theory that makes that true, kids?
Moving on from that.
Always moving on. Go on, where are you coming up to? It's involving guns?
Involves guns and Father Christmas.
Okay. He's not traditionally known to carry guns around.
An Arizona gun club is offering a chance for people to pose for photographs with Father Christmas while holding guns and grenades.
I do that every year at John Lewis.
So do we know that the gun shoots bullets rather than, if this is Santa Claus, you might hope for the gun to shoot presents or model railways or happiness?
Well, I know when my daughter, she was in John Lewis actually with me, and Santa was there without guns, to be fair, or grenades. She just thought he was a scary bearded man.
She's perceptive then.
She was absolutely terrified of him, but did take his chocolate.
That's the opposite of a life lesson. You've taught your daughter that, yes, he's a terrifying bearded man, and no, you should never go near him again, but do, by all means, eat his sweeties.
She was actually clutching her chest in a Right, it's quite true. She does that for a few things. The ant in her animals book, don't know why. It is a giant ant. It is the same size as an elephant, because it's not to scale, that book. And blinking lights, which means she's got a phobia of network hubs behind electronic equipment. And dogs right up close, which I think is probably quite reasonable because they have big teeth. But she likes them when she's about 5 meters away. So she goes, "Ah, oh, doggy, doggy, ah!" I don't know. Dogs never hurt her.
Oh, okay. So she has kind of a relationship with dogs that's kind of like the strong nuclear force, where they're sort of they're repulsive at a distance, they're attractive at another distance, and it's presumably a daughter-stroke-dog equilibrium, where they're like the right distance away.
Yeah, it's currently looking out the window going, duh, duh, and she can't do a G yet.
But going back to this gun club in Arizona, the manager...
I'm so sorry for taking you off topic.
The manager has said... our customers have been looking for a fun and safe way to express their holiday spirit and passion for firearms.
I have a passion for my firearm.
Dear, oh dear. Moving on. Hang on a moment. My wife is a mathematician.
But, what I like about this is there's actually...
It says moving on.
Moving on. What I like about this is that there's a photo in here with an example... which has four women surrounding Santa. And Santa's not looking very happy, and all these women are all looking incredibly cheerful, wearing Christmas hats and carrying rifles.
That's because the Playboy version of that picture, they're wearing beach costumes, and that's why Santa's a lot happier in that version. In this version, he seems to have a load of middle-aged housewives who have just been pulled out from the local area. So that could be because I'm looking for a microphone and can't really see the picture.
No. What it looks like to me is if these people have actually just kidnapped Santa Claus and they're going to hold him to ransom. Like, there'll be no Christmas unless you send...
Does he have a gun? No, he doesn't, does he?
No, he doesn't. No. He doesn't have a gun.
That is odd. he's quite overweight, which makes sense for it to be in America, though.
Or, you know, like Father Christmas. He's supposed to be big and jolly.
No, he's going to be big and jolly, not fat. There's a difference. That one's fat and miserable.
Moving on. See, you're just using the code words at the wrong time.
It's fat and miserable now, that's okay. Now. No, he is.
My wife is a fat and miserable mathematician.
Oi!
My wife. I make no comments as to yours, but mine.
Okay, we'll let you off.
A US-based group has used computerized axial tomography, or CAT scan, on an antique Stradivarius violin so that they can replicate the sound that it produces almost exactly.
So why don't we use a tape recorder?
So they can play it as well. It's not so they can make all the sounds at will rather than using a tape recorder.
Then just tape record lots of tapes and you hit play on the different buttons at a time.
I can't help but feel you've missed the point of making music here.
Well, you have created the Stradivarius keytar. you have created the Stradivarius guitar, which is very cool. I think the sad thing about this story is it sounds a whole lot cooler than it is. Is like it sounds like they've done the Tron thing. You know, in Tron when they got an orange and the guy uses the sort of the Lasotron and it sort of goes and the orange disappears and he uses the Lasotron again and the orange goes and he's like, awesome, we teleported the orange. And if I just didn't do that first step, then we could make two oranges. Genius. But it's not quite that. He's scanned it to determine its internal anatomy and its properties. But then they've built the new one by conventional means. So it's
a lie. Just go back to the keytar. It's a much better idea. Yeah. But that reminds me, actually, at the beginning of a series of the science fiction, we had the Star Wars theme tune played on a floppy disk drive.
Oh, right, yeah, this is where you move the head, and it's sort of pretty, at different speeds.
It's acoustically just almost as good as Stradivarius. It's also like noise. Which, as you can tell, is very similar to the theme tune to Star Wars.
Yeah. Was it the Imperial March, by any chance?
Yes.
That sounds like the right one to have, you know. The Star Wars theme tune itself just has too many delicate harmonies. It's well known for breaking a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk drive when you try and play like a glissando.
That's why you should use a 3.5.
Yeah.
Someone has just emailed in to berate Chris, saying that no one has seen the first 10 minutes of Tron. The only bit that they've seen, obviously, is a bit with all the glowing lines and all the things going in and the light cycles rather than the actual plot.
I don't actually remember this orange bit. Is it in the original Tron?
Yes.
I was assuming it was in the new Tron because I couldn't remember it.
I love the allegation here that the that it's the first 10 minutes that nobody's seen, you know, that everybody's like, oh, this first 2 minutes, such schlock. But then, you know, you turn on half an hour in, a genius, cinematic genius.
Cinematic genius done on a BBC Micro, if I remember correctly.
Was it really? I didn't know that.
I know definitely that Robocop, he's running on a BBC Micro.
Okay. I'd heard that they produced the Tron animations by, like, rendering them frame by frame, which all rendering is done. But, you know, as in, like manually tinkering with some coordinates for the rendering software, and then rendering a frame, and then tinkering, and then rendering a frame, which suggests they didn't know how to make a batch file.
But, yes, isn't it 20 years of a BBC Micro?
It is, yes, indeed. Yes, they've been the Raspberry Pi people have been making a big thing out of that. Have you heard of the Raspberry Pi?
Well, there's one in Morrison's.
a different kind of Raspberry Pi, even. It's a Raspberry Pi where the Pi is spelt P-Y, and it is a tiny, tiny, tiny computer, which costs, like, £20 or something, and has, like... It's basically supposed to be the BBC Micro for the modern age. So you can plug in a monitor and sound and network, and you have lots of general-purpose pins, so you can use it to do things like control amateur robotics, make lights flash and things.
My question is, could you use it to control a cat, therefore rendering it truly bionic?
No, I wanted to make a Raspberry Pi. Which is theoretically possible. You got, if it's got these pins, you connect it to a mixer, an oven, done.
A bionic Raspberry Pi.
Well, it could be made. It could be a bionic cat pie. I mean, I know people don't generally eat cats, so maybe a bionic cow pie, and then that's sorted, right?
Yeah, it'd be fine. The Raspberry Pi thing is actually one of the Hello World programs that ships with the Raspberry Pi. As in, like, you know, you type go and it makes a Raspberry Pi. But nobody knows quite why. The source code is secret.
Give me the code phrase.
My wife is a miserable mathematician.
Moving on.
No!
The Académie Française...
That's a perfect French accent.
Your hearing... is dodgy.
sarcasm, on the other hand, is absolutely fine.
Has been challenged to update language because obviously they have the Académie Française is the keeper of the French language.
L'Académie Française.
There we go. Like that. But moving on into the actual story. There's a festival of new words, which is basically brought a list of words and said to them, put these in. And my absolute favourite one, which
that's
is actually quite...
treason in France, though, isn't it? If they had a monarchy, that would be treason, adding words in the language.
Yep, but look, they don't. Lucky for people, making words.
They don't have a monarchy. That's the only problem.
But, one of the words they came up was ordinosaur. Which is a cross between ordinateur, which is a computer, and dinosaur, which is a dinosaur. And so it describes an out-of-date computer like the BBC Micro.
I love BBC Micros. They're not out-of-date. You can still play pod on them. Wait, you're meant to stop me at some point from reminiscing.
I'm glaring at you. I'm aware that doesn't come across well on radio, but there was a death glare going on there, which you in real life should have picked up on.
So I've got a word for a really, really old computer. I like to call it the Beigemobile.
Batmobile before the Batmobile?
It's like the classic 50s series when he's driving around like a huge, great gull-winged Pontiac. To the Beigemobile!
They've also, previously, this group have come up with a solution to the problem when it gets near midday. You're not quite sure whether you're supposed to say good morning or good afternoon, or bonjour or bonsoir.
I say hello. You say goodbye.
Do not turn this into a Beatles.
That'd be a great meeting with the Académie Française if you successfully worked your way up the echelons and then just started a meeting guy going, okay, I'd like to raise a motion. How about we just speak English? And then run away in your Zeppelin, twirling your moustache.
You run away inside a Zeppelin, like you're just carrying the Zeppelin.
It's kind of pointless running away inside the Zeppelin. I'm pretty much just running for the fun of it, whilst my Zeppelin does the basic work. But yeah.
Do you know why the Esperanto was blocked?
Well,
Esperanto was meant to be a pan-European language, and it was the French who blocked it, because they thought French was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they thought nobody would ever want to speak Esperanto or English, and that worked out well for them, I hear.
Well, it seems they were almost half right.
Three quarters right. right?
Oh dear. But moving on, we've got one last story, which is designed to put us all up in these times, which is that the Office for National Statistics has found that Britons rate their life satisfaction at 7.4 out of 10, despite the fact that the economy isn't in a great state.
I'm still bloody miserable.
I'm not sure why I laughed at that. I laugh at your suffering.
As well, I'm glad that everyone, well, people are three quarters enjoying life. Is that a beast? I don't know. What grade is 7.5?
Well, let's not be ridiculous. You can't have a B star. That's an A. So it's got to be like a B plus or an A minus.
You might notice that I corrected myself after having said the B star.
Yeah, but I'm still going to insult you. You don't get it. This is not a reasonable commentary. This isn't like a scientific lecture. This is at least whilst I'm on it, quite a ridiculous radio show.
I think what the grade you'd actually get would be a BC, which is knowledge equivalent to a common or garden chimpanzee. You can also get a DC, which is knowledge equivalent to a hamster, which is dead, but which is currently being electrified, and an ED, but I'm working on that one.
I had thought BC was like you're about the level of knowledge about 2,000 years ago. Just over 2,000 years ago.
I suppose...
You were rushing evolutionary time.
Yeah, yeah. I was taking the classical sort of 6,000-year-old Christian doctrine and then just upping that a bit to say that the genesis of man was in 1 AD. Damn it.
apparently Britain can take it, mister, according to one of our email correspondents. I'm not entirely sure which bit that was for. And the same person has also said that they personally don't think 7.4 is very high. It's only just above indifferent.
Oh, no, no, but if you've got 7.4 on IMDb, that's okay. You know, 7.4 on IMDb is, yeah, I'll watch that. There's not very much dynamic range on IMDb, but, like, 8 is genius and 6 is total schlock. 7.4 is kind of good.
And 2 is any Jason Statham movie.
Yeah. Manos, the hands of fate.
You know? So what films is Britain equivalent to, then, in terms of score?
What, maybe X-Men First Class. That was pretty good. That was much better than I was expecting, which is to say I was expecting an X-Men movie.
So it's not like, so you're not kind of, not quite up to King's Speech sort of levels?
Yeah, I'd probably give King's Speech a 7. I think Britain is better than the King's Speech, which is sort of difficult conceptually.
Is that because of Colin Farrell, though?
Yeah, if we extradited Colin Farrell, then like either from Britain or from the film The King's Speech, then that would level the scores.
Wait, so in one sense he's working as a positive and in the other he's working as a negative?
Well, see, in England we can still kill him.
Oh. So that's almost all we've got time for. Can we just have a quick guess at what the news will be next week, based on the stories that we've had so far?
Santa Claus has fully donned himself in case of terrorists attacking him.
Andy Holding murdered with Epe, Farrell suspected. Chris Smerton murdered with Epe, and Andy Holding's wife suspected.
And on that note, thank you very much for listening. I've been McIntyre. Thanks to Chris and Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And coming on next, it is The Science of Fiction with Andy Holding.
Andy Holding.
So if you like what he was just saying, stick around for that. Thank you very much, and good evening.